It is a great pleasure to be here on this day of celebration. And so I am a pastor that run around. I run a lot, but today I'm going to contain myself. So I'm going to try to be here and not run around. And so some fathers will make sure that their sons and daughters don't, that they are stifled, while others will bend their knees to elevate their sons and daughters. We are glad that we have a father who promotes and encourages his own children. So please help us to appreciate Daddy Walker and Mommy Francine Walker, please. Honestly, we are really thankful to God that we can be part of this celebration. We thank the leadership of Cross Cultural Church. Pastor Greg, thank you so much. To all the leaders of the church, we appreciate you. We appreciate your love. We do not take this gesture of love and kindness lightly. Really do appreciate it. Thank you. To the whole membership of Cross Culture Church, your community is one that is marked with love and kindness. And we want to let you know that we believe that Jesus lives in this place. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. And just like Mommy and Daddy said, we've just moved not too far away from here now. And we have a couple of our people with us today. We have our Director of Missions, Brother Ade. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Also, I have one of my daughters with us and her husband. She is our event coordinator for our marriage ministry, the Oretuis. God bless you. And their children are here too, Tishe, Tenny, and Tony. God bless you. And this is my wife of almost 30 years. And just like Mommy Francis, Daddy said about Mommy Francine that she said, I do 45 years ago. She said the same thing about 30 years ago, and she's still doing. Amen. Glory be to God. She is an author, and she has written two books, but we brought one of her books, which is a devotional. See, when I started to bring this today, I wanted to bring four, but she gave me five. And I wasn't thinking about it until right now before we came up stage that the anniversary we're celebrating today is 44th anniversary, and I have four of them. By God's providence, I gave out one before we came up so that I'm only left with four, which was the original number that I had in mind to bring. Amen. And while I was meditating about today, a scripture came to mind, and that is a scripture from the book of John, chapter 11. You remember when Jesus Christ went to the tomb of Lazarus? The Bible said that he said to his disciple that our friend is asleep. Let's go wake him up. And I don't know why the writer of the scripture put it there, but he mentioned the I think it was Thomas, the Didymus. And he said, Thomas said, let us all go with, and so that we can die with him. So it wasn't that, Thomas has always been a doubter. So he said, let's just go and die with him also. And so something cropped into my spirit that Jesus Christ intentionally waited for 4 days before he went to meet with Lazarus. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that there was no contest, no debate, no controversies. So that whatever was going to happen at the tomb of Lazarus was going to be nothing short of miraculous. So I have come to announce to somebody in this house that God will do the miraculous in your lives in this new season in the mighty name of Jesus. So if you I learned about warriors. The minister that was there talked about warriors. Can I have 4 young warriors in this house, please? 4 young warriors. Come on, run out. 4. Okay. Yeah, people thought that I was going to sell them. I'm not selling. So please give your hands to God for my wife. Amen. Aren't you blessed? Praise God. So again, welcome to the 44th church anniversary celebration, double four. The theme of the conference or the meeting or this celebration today is embracing a greater purpose. Embracing a greater purpose. Purpose is defined as the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. So meaning the reason for something. When you have a purpose set, you have a target. And that becomes your guide to every of your actions. It shapes what you do. So Napoleon Hill said this. He said, there is one quality which one must possess to win. And that is the definiteness of purpose. The knowledge of what you want. And a Bible said something to possess it. Comes when you understand your purpose. So your purpose gives birth to courage and initiatives. The understanding of your purpose is what leads to courage and initiatives. And this one I love so much by Dr. Miles Monroe. Understand, they said, when abuse is inevitable, when purpose is unknown, you will abuse whatever you have. And that's why some people will abuse themselves. That is why a husband will abuse his wife. And some wives will abuse their husbands because they don't know the reason for their spouses. We have a marriage ministry. We talk to young people, and I say to them that instead of looking for a man to marry, look for a purpose.
to follow.
The Bible said that when God created man, he said that it is not good for this one to be alone. So I will make for him a help that is meet for his purpose. And so when you look for a purpose, you will find a man behind it. But if you're looking for a man, you might get one without a purpose. And if you get a man without a purpose, then you have a trouble. And then you become a punching bag. I would have loved to lay some foundations, but for time this morning. But I believe that God has placed something in my spirit to share with you. And I think it will fit into the sphere of what the theme is. So I have come to share with you and to tell you that the world needs you now. So if you are like some people that I know, they always want a title or a topic for everything that they listen to. The title of my message will be, "The World Needs You Now." Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be alive today. Thank you because you are the author of life, the beginning and the ending of all things. The same yesterday, the same today. You are going to be the same forevermore. And so we honor you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you today. Let your kingdom come and let your will alone be done. And in all of this, we will be careful to return the glory to you and you alone. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. So we live in a world that is perverse. A world that is declining, going down, going wrong, going sour. In all things that were designed, and said that if there is a God, if there's a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? The theodicy question. Trying to vindicate the goodness and the providence of God. Why will God not just fix it? So I want to share something with us that I think might be an insight to why things are the way they are and why God is not doing anything about it. So if you will, please turn your scriptures with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. And I'll read verses 19 through 22. Romans 8, 19 through 22. Everything that God made is waiting with excitement for the time when it will show the world who his children are. The whole world wants very much for that to happen. Everything God made was allowed to become like something that cannot fulfill its purpose. That was not its choice, but God made it happen with this hope in view. That the creation will be made free from ruin. That everything God made will have the same freedom and glory that belong to God's children. And so we know that everything God made has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth to a child. Verse 20 says that everything that God made was allowed to become like something that cannot fulfill its purpose. And it says, that was not the choice of those things. It was not their choice. It was not the choice of the world to be what it is. But God made it happen because there's a hope in mind. Because there's a hope in mind. So it is safe to say that God did not cause these perversions that we've seen all around us. God is not the author of the decadence that we're experiencing in our world. Things are what they are, not because God wants them to be, or not because God did them like that, not because God created them to be like that. But then God allowed them for a purpose. So for everything that is happening around us, there is a purpose for it. When you and I receive a new birth, we receive a purpose with that. There is a greater purpose than just giving our lives to Christ. And one of that purpose or purposes is actually hidden in this scripture. It says that we might become the solution. Say, God allowed this decadence. God allowed this perversion, not because it cannot stop it. Not because he's not God enough, but because he is designed such that we can be the solution. God will not do for us what he has called us to do for him. See, a lot of times we'll wait on God. We spend time praying to God when God wants us to move for him. So God will not solve the problem because he has his children in place and he has empowered us to be the solution. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You're not the light of the church. Because a lot of us, it is only in the church that we shine. But God is is calling you out because he's sending you to the world. He says you are the light of the world, not of the church. You are the salt of the earth, not of your fellowship. God is saying that he wants you out in the world. I would say, thee that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away because all things are now new. It didn't stop there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 18 says something like this. It says, but all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation so that by our example, come on now, by your example, Father Francis of Assisi says that preach by all means. If it is necessary, use words. It is only out of necessity that it says preach the gospel. But if it's necessary, use words. That is to say that words comes last. It is your example that the world is waiting on. It says so that by our example we might bring others to him. So to embrace this call to be the solution to the perversion that we experience or we are experiencing in our world, I think that is a very vital question that we must answer. And the question is, are we children or are we sons? Are we children or are we sons? See, our challenge is that when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were born children in Christ. In fact, while I was thinking about this, I remember the book of Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 6 says something. It said, this will happen. This is the easy to read version. It said, this will happen when the special child is born. God will give us a son who will be responsible for leading the people. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. See, easy to read translation says that this will happen. A child will be born. Children are born. But in the same scripture that a child will be born, he said that a son will be given. So we don't give birth to sons. We grow sons. Even though the child possesses the potential, the capacity of a son, if he remains a child, it will not fulfill the potential. Okay, now everybody's quiet on me. It says a child will be born, but a son will be given. So we give birth to children. But sons are grown. We grow them. We raise sons. The scripture talked about Jesus Christ. It says, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. So there was, even though he was God in human form, he had to do what? So the reason why we're not entering, embracing that which is the purpose or the greater purpose of God for our lives, which I believe one of that greater purposes is to reconcile our world to God. Listen, if it was just to go to heaven, all of us should be dead by now. I mean, just let's be sincere with ourselves. Even though that nobody wants to die, we all want to go to heaven. And the only way to go to heaven is to die. I'm a chaplain at Grady, and so I hear this all the time. Chaplain, can you tell me if I'm going to make it to heaven? Because if it was about just heaven, when you give your life to Christ, you should be raptured. Gone. Minus one. Just disappear. But the Bible said that he reconciled us to himself and gave us the responsibility to reconcile others to him. But because some of us, if not most of us, are still stuck in childhood, we're not able to function in the calling for which God has called us. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians and says that when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I made plans like a child. But when I became a man, I stopped from children's stuffs. But some of us are still talking like children. Our thoughts are still like children. I come from a background where if the pastor don't call you, you become angry. If the pastor don't visit you, you are angry and you don't come to church for like 3 Sundays. And I always would say to them, you're nothing but what? A child. It's time for us to put away children's stuff. Talking about children, Psalm 127, chapter 127, verses 3 to 5 says this. It says, children are the gift from the Lord. A reward from a mother's womb, I'm coming to something. A young man's sons, however, are like the arrows in a soldier's hand. The man who fills his quiver with sons will be very blessed. He will never be defeated when he opposes his enemy at the city gates. So I looked at this scripture and I said something. Children are gifts to be enjoyed. Children are gifts from God to be enjoyed. As soon as Daddy and Mommy Francis' grandchildren came into the church, they ran straight in the front, and she has been enjoying them. So children are gifts to be enjoyed. When we came this morning, my daughter and husband came, and they came with the children. And as soon as I stepped out of the car and they saw me, they rushed to me, hugging me and stuff like that. They are supposed to be enjoyed. That's why the scripture calls them what? Gifts. But then he left the place of the children and went to the place of the sons. And the story changed. He said, a young man's sons are like arrows. So sons are defined as a tool of war. So, as children are designed to be enjoyed, sons are designed to be deployed. Children are designed to be enjoyed, but sons are designed to be deployed. It says, blessed is he that has his quiver full of them. When he contend with his enemy at the city gate, he will not be afraid. Sons have responsibilities. In fact, that's what that scripture says in Isaiah. It says he gave him the responsibility. Let me go back there. It says, this will happen, Isaiah 9:6, when the special child is born, God will give us a son. Out of that child, a son will be raised who will be responsible. See, children are not responsible. Sons are. And that's the problem that we have, because our churches today, they're not helping. We are failing to raise sons. We are failing to grow sons. We are pampering children. That's why it's become a taboo to talk about sins on the pulpit now. It's become a taboo to say that something is wrong. You see, I don't know about you, but when it comes to things that are not designed as God has designed them, wrong is wrong. Sin is sin. There ain't no mistake about that. It's just a mistake. No, it's not a mistake. It's a sin. You see, it forms first in your heart. And when your heart gives way to it and entertains it, it becomes a sin. And if you allow it to keep festering, listen, the Bible says it becomes death. That's why it has become a taboo to talk about heaven and hell on the pulpit these days. Nobody preaches the second coming anymore. As if the Bible is changed. As if the design of God has been modified. As if we've grown into another city where Jesus is not coming back again. Listen, he is coming back. Whether the devil likes it or yes, he is coming back. And he is coming to take away is beloved. The one that stays in the place of truth. The one that will not give way to the pressure of this world. So our churches are not helping. We're pampering children. We are neglecting the continuous transformation that Apostle Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to what it says. It says, at 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are progressively, let's say, that's what we're talking about. We are progressively. That's growth. we are progressively being transformed into the image from one degree of glory. So there's the glory of the children, and there is the glory of the sons. So image, he said, we have been transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the church is failing to show us the mirror from where we take our identity from. There is a proverb in my tribe that says that the father is the mirror and the mother is golden. The father is the mirror and the mother is golden, meaning the mother cares for her children, but it's from the father that the children take their image from. So the church is failing to constantly and continually place the mirror in front of us, so that we can see the image of whom we should look like. When the church begins to present another image, from all our pulpits now, if you don't talk about 21 ways to be rich, 7 ways to break through, 15 ways to be elevated, 14 ways to change your situation. Listen, if you don't preach those, people don't come. Every time I was listening to a message one day, and he said that I have this revelation to give. Revelation of how to live a healthy life. And I said, bro, ain't no revelation. The revelation is how to live well. Revelation to how to live well, live healthy life, drink to eat well, sleep well, drink a lot of water, exercise, you'll be all right. But it's a deep revelation. No, the only deep revelation in the scripture is that Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ went, and Jesus Christ is coming back again. That is the only revelation. There is nothing deeper than that. Nothing deeper than Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose, Jesus Christ went, and Jesus Christ is coming back. Everything else that you have, he's just fillers. He said, you will reconcile to me, and I've called you to reconcile others to me. So the glory of the child cannot accommodate this greater purpose that we're talking about. The purpose of God requires the glory of a son. In fact, we are disadvantaged when we remain children. And that's why we're struggling. Paul said this talking to the Galatians. He says that, now what I mean about this is this. As long as the heir is a child. As long as the heir is a child. Remember, we're all heirs of the Father. But he says, as long as that heir remains a child, it does not differ at all from a slave, even though he is the future owner and master of all the estate, but he is under authority of guidance and household administrators or managers until the date set by his father when he is of legal age. So until a child grows up and becomes a son, he doesn't have access to all that belongs to him. So I say that again, just like I said before, children are the responsibility of their parents, but sons are supposed to be responsible for their parents. The sons here are quiet. Children, it says that they are under the guidance. And that's why a lot of us are controlled by our emotions. That's why a lot of us are controlled by circumstances and situations. So I talk a lot about marriage, and that's why some marriages are failing. Because the husbands are children. And the Bible said a man will live. It is only a son that has the capacity to live. A child is attached to mommy. But a man, a son, has the capacity to live. Children are subject to the control of situation and circumstances around them. But sons are responsible for situations and circumstances around them. So this perversion, this decadence that we're talking about, children are subject to them. That's why a lot of us cry, oh, this world is becoming a bad place. This world, and then we cry about it and we can't do nothing. We turn it to a sitting of gossipers. When God is calling us to rise as sons. When I say sons, I mean male and female. The Adama, sons. Raised according to the power of God, rising to situation and circumstances at the gates, making God proud. But no, children are the responsibilities of their parents. We carry them. Remember when mines were younger? They would jump on me, I'll carry them. But now they carry me. And that's what it's supposed to be. And my oldest son was at home when he finished his undergrad. I said, boy, now you're making money. You're going to start paying me rent. Your rent is $500 every month. And when I said that, I quickly thought about it and I said, okay, let me put this into it. Let there be a caveat to it so that this guy doesn't run out of the house and start messing up. So I said, well, the $500, you know I don't need your money, right? It's still going to be your money, but I'm going to take it from you. So he started paying it. And I said, you know, we are Nigerians. And we don't stop at just undergrad. So you have to do something. Since you say you're not going to medical school, okay, I agreed. It took me time. I struggled. But I agreed. And I said, so you have to do something. I said, okay, Dad, I'll figure it out. Then if you got it out, went back to do his master's. And while he was doing his master's, I said, you know what? We'll cancel your rent. I want you to go to school full time and do nothing. The only thing you will not do is I won't buy you clothes. I'll feed you. I'll gas your car. But no clothes. I said, that's a deal. Then he finished, and he got a job again. I said, hey, boy. You're paying me rent. And now your rent is $1,000. And so he paid it for about 1.5 years. And I said, you know, boy, you need to start thinking about buying your own house. And then we figured it out and said, okay, Dad, I think so too. And so he bought his house. And they came up with $26,000 in cash. None of it was a gift. It was all his money. I said, you see now, you are his son. Yeah. Children are subject to the control of situations and circumstances around them. But sons are responsible for situations and circumstances around them. Responsible. 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 I want you to think about that. There was a time I was in my study in the house, and I think he was visiting. My first son was visiting, and he saw me like this on my desk. He said, Dad, what's wrong? I said, oh, just trying to figure these things out. Just need some, move some things around here. I'm trying to take care of some financial stuff. He said, you know, I can help, right? And I started crying. My son can now help. I said, boy, I don't need your money right now. When I do, I'm going to let you know. Cross-cultural church, we are responsible to right the wrongs around us. So instead of going around asking, why will God not fix these problems? You need to question your existence as sons of God when things are not right around you. Our world needs sons of God for the greater purpose of God now. So the question is, are you a child? Or are you a son? The world needs you now. Amen. If you are able to stand, please stand with me. Let us pray. Now I want you to be very sincere with yourself. The question before you this day is not afternoon yet. Are you a child or are you a son? And it's not about your chronological age. You can be 100 years old child when it comes to the things of God. And it's not about how long you've been in the church. You could have been in the church for the past 65 years and still a child. A child is born. A son is given. So we raise sons. Children grow into sons. You're going to pray for yourself. Father, help me. I cannot do this by myself. Father, help me. Say that. Just say something to God. You know who you are. God, help me. Help me, O Lord. In the places where I've remained childish, Lord, help me. And if you are here or you are watching us by the reason of the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and you're not even sure whether you are a child of God, you have the opportunity to decide today. Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Today is the day of salvation. If you want to be a part of the solution to the decadence around us, you have to be a child first. So if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and personal Savior, you have the opportunity to come forth. The people that know me know that I don't beg. I'm not the type that say, I give you 1, 2, 3, come now. No, I don't beg. It is either you want it or you don't want it. Because I know what I preach. Jesus is Lord. Whether the world believes it or not, Jesus is Lord. And he's coming back for his own. So if you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, come out. If you are watching us by the reason of the live stream, you want to give your life to Christ, just say this with me. Jesus, I come. As I am, with all my luggages and baggages, I ask, O God, that you will have mercy upon me. Lord, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender to you. Amen. If you have done that, I believe that you are born again. If you are close around here, yes, you can come into Cross Culture Church. The address is 6440 Rocks. Springs Road, Stonecrest, Georgia. Zip code is 30038. Come on in. The atmosphere is ready. And unto you that is more than able to keep us, Lord, we commit ourselves. We ask, O God, beyond our imagination, beyond what we feel, beyond what we can do, that your Spirit will help us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ the Master, we pray with thanksgiving.
Sunday where we would have Holy Communion, but the message you just heard is enough for you to examine your own lives, because the question on the table is, are you a child or are you a son? Secondly, are you a child? Let's start with the first one. Are you a child of God? There are many that would consider themselves to be children of God, but have never crossed that threshold of death, dying that they may live. Then they are postured to grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord. And the reason that this is so important is because we look at the opportunity. You heard it, the word. The opportunity God is affording you, us, to grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord. If you're not growing into sonship, acknowledging the Father, knowing who the Father is, knowing his fatherliness, his fatherness, that he is the Father, then the question is, are you really a son? The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of grace is upon us so that we can acknowledge and recognize the Father. Jesus Christ, Spirit brought in place, we said, Abba, Father. So during this time of consecration, as we lead into Easter, and as we continue to celebrate 44 years, we want this to be a time of self-examination. Did you hear something else in the Word? He said, what happens with sons, they're postured to take on responsibility. Did you hear that? They show the responsibility. That's one sign that you're a son, is because you're not always looking at what needs to be done for you, but you acknowledge what has already been done for you so that you can begin to do some things that would be a blessing to others. I hope you heard that. Because it's not just about us. It's about carrying out the will of Father. The will of the Father. So thank you, my son, for being so used of the Lord. Let me tell you something. I mentioned in the back, I said, your life encourages me. You are an encouragement to me. As I grow older and I begin to see the work that you're doing, things that's happening within the lives of sons and daughters. We say sons. Sonship is not male or female now. We're not talking generic. We're not talking that way, gender. We're saying those that mature, those that grow up, that it's encouraging as we grow older to see such things happening, because we realize that when we transition, we in the presence of the Lord, that the work doesn't end, but the work of God that God would have done is being carried out through the sons that remain. So bless you, my son. Thank you, my daughter, we thank God for your coming and at a sacrifice to be with us here this morning. So now we're going to open our hearts to God in the area of giving, in the area of responding to his initiative, in the area of acknowledging the fact that God has already blessed us, but we are taking into account the blessings that we have received and where who we receive them from. That God is the Father of all blessings. He's the Father of all life. So Father, speak to each heart as we come to this anniversary on this particular day, that you will move hearts, minds, lives towards that which is most significant to you. And Lord, you've given us this ministry. You've given us this ministry. We're not just here to occupy time and space, but you've graced us with a ministry, with a responsibility that we all have come to shoulder. whatever part you've assigned us to do, we recognize it is of you. We're not looking at what need to be done, but we're looking at what we are to do since we're sons. So speak to each heart as we respond in faith to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.